this is great. It's wonderful to be with you this evening. One more button to push, and then we'll be all set. Okay, we're ready for this evening. Excited to be with you. So many wonderful things happening. Just praying that your lives are going well as in your efforts to improve your relationships and build your businesses. Tonight is an opportunity for us to take on your lives, and I do want to invite all who are here with us to participate, to ask questions, to share your stories. Those who are with us for the first time, we're so excited that you are with us. We're going through the process of understanding the six qualities of an intentional creator. Tonight we're going to wrap up our discussion around quality number three, completing tasks, and begin one of the most interesting of them all, discipline and structure. So here we are this evening together. I wanted to give everybody just a quick update on a couple of things before we launch into our program this evening. Tomorrow evening, anyone who is interested in the Alcohol Recovery Support Program, Ogmandino's newlifesupport.com, if you do not have or have not yet registered, you should have received an email. If not, call the office tomorrow so that you can get a phone number to be on the call. You'll need to have a special phone number and PIN just like this call. Call the office at 801-294-7694. That's 801-294-7694. It's going to be very exciting tomorrow evening. I'm going to walk you through when the release of this program, our participation in the National Alcoholics Association International Conference that happens only every 5 years. This is happening at the end of June. 75,000 people are going to be there. So exciting. Some things that have happened in the program in the last week. And then we're going to walk through and show you how the program works. So if you or you know anyone who could use some assistance in supporting and deepening their recovery from alcohol, please invite them to participate. Please come and let us share with you. Og has been such a wonderful contributor to those who are in recovery for the last 42 years. Had a heartwarming story this morning from a gentleman I talked to in Florida. I'll share that tomorrow evening. It's just wonderful to see how Og's touched so many lives for so many years. And what an honor it is on our part in the office to be able to work with these principles and share them with people so that they can come alive in their lives as well. Well, we've had quite a week. It's been a week of power sessions, those opportunities for us to pick those three events in the morning that are most important, to read Scroll 5, I'll live this day as if it is my last, to consider with those three times during the day, what can I create, how can I create, how can this serve? What can I do during those three times that I've designated in the day? How could I show up differently? Intrinsically validating those who are in attendance. Using my mind constructively so that I'm not going into fantasy or catastrophe, where I can be fully present in the service of another person. And then we began the process of executing those power sessions. And we read Scroll 9 at noon. I will act now just to keep us in that space. My dreams are worthless. My plans are dust. My goals are impossible. All are of no value unless they're followed by action. Well, the action determines my value in the marketplace. And to increase my value, I must increase my action. Then we finish those power sessions. At the end of the day, we journal. And journaling is such an important part of this process, so that we can become aware when things happen in our lives. I had an experience this week. I'm going to save it because I think this person's on the line and perhaps they could share it with us. Watch some really wonderful miracles occur in people's lives. It's just wonderful to see these things happen. And sometimes the miracle is just in the middle of a nightmare, being able to show up for someone. Having other people step into our path and serve us in our time of need. Wonderful things can happen. We want to journal those so that we don't forget those moments. And then, lastly, we read Scroll 7. I will laugh at the world. Now, when we get done sharing tonight, I'm going to help you take this to another level. But let's spend a few moments. I know I've had some input today from some who might be willing to share with us. So who would like to be the first one to come out tonight?
I will, Dave.
And who is this, please?
This is Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. Welcome.
Hi, Dave. Thank you. I know you encouraged me to share this, so okay. What I'm experiencing, my husband had a stroke, several mini strokes, and he's suffering some dementia from that. And he wanted me to be sure and go to the mortuary and get everything arranged because he's pretty sure he's not going to be with me much longer. And then going through some contention with family, his family members who don't want me to be buried next to their mother or have my name on that headstone. So, let's see. So, anyway, I make my own weather. I'm doing not letting that color my day because of those negative emotions that are stirring up. And I had an experience with a patient who came into the clinic the other day, and when I was talking to him, I just noticed that he had a wonderful, wonderful voice, and I complimented him on it and asked him if he was a radio announcer, and he says, no, I'm a singer. I'm actually a singer. And so he told me his website, and I mean, I really stepped into his world. He gave me his website and his email address so that I could ask questions or give him feedback for that. So I felt really good about that. That was a positive thing that I'm doing to kind of combat some of the negative things happening in my life.
Well, I did ask you to share that, Eileen, because so many of us are having, so many on the phone, are having challenging circumstances. And you'd shared that with me earlier, that in spite of all of that,
yes,
you still chose to step into somebody's world and have that kind of a moment.
Yes.
You didn't have to. It wasn't required. It wasn't part of what you're doing as a nurse. You could have done your 2D and left, but you made something else happen. Mm-hmm. I can only imagine how that man felt. He's in a clinic, so he's getting medical care.
Right.
And here's someone who acknowledges one of his strengths.
Yes.
You make his day.
Right.
Yeah, and you get a little joy, too.
Yes, that's true.
Well, thank you so very much for sharing.
My pleasure.
And I just want to acknowledge again your courage.
Thank you.
We all have challenges in our lives, but most of them are not life or death. They just aren't.
Okay.
But yours is.
Yes.
So thank you for your example and for your strength. Thanks, Eileen.
Thank you, Dave.
Who else would like to share this evening?
This is Alexandra.
Dave, this is Steve in Arizona.
Hi, Steve, and then we've got Alexandra. You're right after Steve. Will that be okay?
Absolutely. You go
okay,
for it.
Steve. Go for it, Steve.
Well, I feel guilty taking the spot, but I just wanted to say I had a great week. I feel extremely blessed having stumbled upon this material through recommendations of a friend. I was in Salt Lake City, and I just wanted to share how powerful I find this material. I was able to assist a friend who is in a very dark night in his life. He's successful in many aspects of his life. He's having relationship problems and was able to assist him from to move in a way.
Steve, your phone is breaking up for some reason. I'm not sure what it is. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Thank you.
Just quickly again, I'm in Miami, Florida right now with a group of 25 students conducting a workshop.
Ah.
And it's a coaching modality that I've used many, many years up till now. But I added the content of intrinsic validation and building bridges, opening up your heart to other people, and just intrinsically validating other people. Yesterday happened to be Holocaust Remembrance Day, and it was just such a moving scene to see a diverse group that included Muslims, people of the Jewish faith, Christians, and Hindus that were embracing each other with love and gratitude and honoring each other in the course of this workshop by the end of the day. Just by sharing the principles of intrinsic validation to go along with the rest of the program. And it was nothing short of a miracle to see this diverse group of people come together and just truly appreciate each other and love each other and build these relationships. It was just absolutely earth-moving.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you started to share with us a moment ago that you were working with a friend. That was up here in Salt Lake, if I remember correctly, who's having challenges. And how were you able to use the principles to serve him?
Well, I allowed him to build that bridge of love and understanding and realize how he could serve others in the same place and even serve the person in the relationship that he is having trouble with separating from, and to actually build some constructive thought processes, use the tomahawk chop, not go to that side of the road today, build some very constructive thought processes, and really put things in perspective and allow them to move forward in a very powerful and productive way.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you have an opportunity to bless a man's life. He's going through a traumatic event. You said, and even bless the life of the person he is separating from.
Yes.
Building a bridge. And then you've got Hindu, Muslim, Jewish, Christian all together in a room.
Yes.
Seeing the intrinsic value of each human being. How cool is that, especially in light of what's going on right now in Washington with the nuclear disarmament kind of discussions, etc., and all of the challenges that are being faced between those countries. I guess we can say, Steve, that love is the greatest weapon, right?
Yes, it absolutely is.
Awesome. Well, thank you for sharing.
Thank
Alexandra.
You. Well, good evening to you, and in front of all these people on the line, I want to acknowledge you and thank you for being a blessing in my life. I have spent the last 3 months with you from the beginning to of a very traumatic event in my life, realizing that the prior year, over a prior year, we had lost a significant amount of money, and that our first coaching session was when I was in the furnace, and I have been in process ever since, and I've come out the other end. I am so excited about my life. I am so grateful. My field is psychology, transpersonal psychology, and I had a young 5-year-old client name me the Attitude Doc. So here I was teaching, writing, publicly speaking about how you don't let the outer world circumstances run your life. That we are more powerful than that, and we can overcome that. And how it is to use the wonderful protocol that I use to really move through those negative feelings, and how when you change your thinking, you change your life. I knew it all. I've studied personal and spiritual growth for 35 or plus years. I was in the darkest place that I can remember. Even a darker place, I think, than when I gave a child away for adoption in 1961. I have been reading the scrolls. I have been working on myself, and I have been doing just different whatever came along, the doors that were open. And Dave, you've been just an angel in my life, because I also call myself a stretch and not a shrink. And I, again, had to walk my talk these past 3 months. I want to be the role model for my granddaughters. When I look at Ashlyn and I say, Ashlyn, you can do anything. And I was not living up to that role model. And I can truthfully say that I can do anything. I decide. I have met the most amazing people that God has put on my path and who have joined my network marketing company. One woman has 6 weeks left of income, and I connected her with a person today. She had the interview. She got a job. I just could go on and on and on. I have a little 4x6 card on the dining room table that says, not going there today. and I don't. The power of decision. I was such a victim. I didn't want to surrender. I wanted to have things be the way I wanted them to be. I resisted structure. Oh, my gosh. I have grown so much in the last 3 months. I have really, for a long, 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 long time, known my true essence, that I am a soul and I'm in a body. I call my body my Toyota. And this is my vehicle that I'm here to express an adventure. And, wow, I am just having a blast. And you are a significant part of my triumph, Dave Blanchard. Thank you. You are such an angel. I have to tell you one other thing. I met a woman very synchronistically who has also become part of my organization. And she said we met by divine appointment. She moved out here from Michigan to California, and she said, I truly believe I came out here to meet you. And we had a 7.2 earthquake validate our appointment with God. I have been turning people on to your recovery program and to the AUG group, and I am just having a blast. So thank you. I hope I haven't taken up too much time.
Oh, not at all. And it would be wonderful if we would say more, but just... You know, when you get to a certain part of your life and you've saved and you've invested and a significant piece of that is stolen by a thief, it is just debilitating. We're talking to Dr. Alexandra here, and you have been just a tremendous inspiration to me as well, as you've taken this on so courageously, because... We're all going to have some moments like this in our life, and we teach these principles. We even do our best to live them. But there are moments that are just beyond anything we've ever experienced before. And to watch you take this on, I was so excited for you to share tonight, because there are some on the call, Alexandra, who are where you were and are wondering, what do I do? And... if they can just follow your example of 1 foot ahead of the next one, look for the good in someone, acknowledge it, see what's important to them, listen for doors, let go of the resistance. I remember a wonderful conversation we had together on just holding back. You call yourself a Toyota, and I had to smile a minute ago because you don't need your brakes anymore, so you should be okay. It's okay to have your accelerator stick now, you know, because you're ready to rock and roll forward. Well, this one lady that you met, I want you to take us there just for a moment, because you shared this with me earlier this week.
Yes.
Would you just set up this situation where you met her, what you said to her, and what came out of this? Because it was such a miraculous and beautiful example that when we're in action, when we're actually out doing, people are put on our path.
They really are. I mean, right before I met her, I met a beautiful sculptor, and he explained his art pieces to me. He had a picture of a male torso with a gate in front of the heart. How men sometimes tempt to block their heart. And this piece he's working on called Challenge, because we all have challenges in our lives. So he was a miracle to talk to in himself. And then I go to sit down at the end of this wonderful art festival, outdoor, beautiful, beautiful grounds, everything in the desert in California. And I'm watching the end of the festival, I'm watching this man blow glass, and it's the end of his demonstration, sitting next to this wonderful, raving beauty. And we were watching this for a few minutes, and he's finishing up, and I happen to look at her, and I say, "Wow, your skin is phenomenal." You know, I was just so blown away, and she's such a beautiful woman. Well, we started talking. One thing led to another. She started telling me about why she's in California, a very rough divorce she's going through. She has her 20-year-old daughter with her. This woman herself is 16 years in recovery, and she's developed a marketing program. And we went on and on and on. We were in the parking lot. We didn't want to say goodbye to each other. It's like she became my new best friend. And we've seen each other every day since. And we've hiked together and poured our hearts out to each other on top of a mountain. And we're going to be business associates. Oh, my God, I tell you. God, you said it. You know, God opens the door. You walk through it. You take action. Another door will open. And another door. And another door. And that's what's been happening. I am just, the people I'm meeting, it's like, thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's all I can do. I just live in such a state of gratitude.
Thank you.
Oh my
Thank
God.
You so much for sharing. This is an example. People talk about the law of attraction. And they talk about, you know, sitting there in the easy chair, fantasizing about the Lamborghini in the garage that never shows up, discouraged, frustrated, waiting for success to happen, believing if they show up to enough meetings. I think I shared this last Tuesday. If I did, I'm going to repeat it because it's worth repeating. Talking to one of our coaches who was coaching a woman who had gone to Weight Watchers who had lost 65 pounds. And she was so excited in the discussion about what had happened and how she'd done it. And she said, "Well, I had two friends that went with me, but they both quit because it wasn't working." And she said, "Well, why didn't it work for them?" Well, they believed that if they came to the meetings, they'd lose weight. They thought, and for all of us in this program, coming to the Tuesday night call will improve my life. It only will if we take it home and apply the principles. And she said something to our coach that I will never forget. It's just indelibly imprinted on my mind. And it might be because I'm working on my own diet right now. That's probably why it's so sensitive. But she said to our coach, "They came to the meetings, but they never went home and cut the celery." They never went home and cut the celery. When we go home and cut the celery, and cutting the celery is noticing someone with beautiful skin and saying something. Cutting the celery is Steve traveling up from Phoenix to Salt Lake to be with a friend for a couple of days. Cutting the celery is pulling together four very diverse religious groups and having them see the uniqueness and pricelessness in each other. Cutting the celery is coming home from a meeting at a mortuary with the children of your husband who you've been married for a decade and having them tell you they don't want you on the tombstone. Oh my goodness. And still being able to step into the world of a patient with a beautiful voice and connect with them and have their walls come down and have them open up and create a special event. That is cutting the celery. When we cut the celery, we have a vision. Not going there today. I'm going to stay in constructive thought, ignite with passion, do. I'm going to be doing these things that I get excited about. And as I do them, the promises are twofold. Just make sure we don't miss this before we move on. The promises are twofold. One, that power that governs abundance, that higher power I call God, does in fact endow us with more ability when we fully use what we've already been given. It just does. You will be a witness of it as you fully use your current gifts. And second, as you step into people's worlds, take action, show up, notice other people. People will be put on your path who you can serve, and people who will serve you. I watch this. Oh my goodness. Every week we watch this. We hear about it from our clients. We're hearing about it tonight. Trust this. But for it to happen, you must go home after this meeting and cut the celery. We need to ingest this information. Let it get into our systems and be part of our souls. Thank you, Eileen and Steve and Alexandra. Now, is there anyone else that has had an experience this week, but they're hesitant to share, they're a little uncomfortable, their heart is pounding? Please serve
Dave?
Us. Yes.
Dave, this is Chris. I'm in Las Vegas.
Hi, Chris.
How are you? I don't want to get off track, but this is the first time I've tuned into one of your calls.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. It sounds like a good thing already. I'm pretty much on the same page as Dr. Alexander there. I've heard it, I've done it, I've practiced it, it's worked for me, but I'm in the pits right now. And the bottom line is I've got everything anybody could ask for. Financially, family-wise, everything. I've got it all. And I'm letting the booze steal it away. And what I'd like to know is just two things. One, how can I get more information on the actual recovery program?
I'm sorry, what I was listening, what?
My heart is going out to you, Chris. I'm going to give you a phone number to call and call first thing
okay.
in the morning.
I will.
That phone number is 801-294-7694.
Okay, I will make the
7694.
Call.
7694. Ask Megan for the phone number for tomorrow night. Attend that meeting tomorrow night and hear about the program. It's
okay.
Still 2 or 3 weeks away before it's going to be launched. Are you part of our scholarship program?
No.
Okay. I think it's important that following
that
meeting...
I don't even know about it.
Okay. Thursday morning following the session, I want you to call the same number again and ask for Chase. Let Chase share with you the things that are available to assist you between now and that program and can assist you in that program. The subject that you're talking about is near and dear to my heart, and I know that Chase is on the phone with us tonight, so Chase, would you make sure that Chris gets all the information he needs on Thursday after that Wednesday meeting? And if I need to step into that call, please let me know. And, Chris, I'll get on the line with you and share some
okay.
personal things with you to assist you.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. You're ready for a new life.
Well, you know what? Years ago, I picked up a book on my bookshelf that sat there for about 5 years, and I never read it. It was called The Greatest Salesman in the World. Funny, huh?
Yep.
And I've read everything he's ever written ever since. That book itself, that one little tiny thin book, probably put $100,000 in my pocket. It's amazing. And I just pulled it out. I'm reading it today again. And every time I read it, I get something different and something better out of it. But it's just that it would be one thing if my life was a pits and everything was bad and everything, but I've got it all. And I'm losing it. and it's my fault, nobody else's, and I've got to do something to change it, and that's why I'm on this call. So I appreciate everybody that shared with us. I'm really interested in what Steve said about that tomahawk chop, but I'm sure I'll find out about that.
You certainly will. I want to share with you before we move on from this, Chris, the copy for the home page of the AugmentDinasNewLifeSupport.com. It has a picture of a man looking into a pawn shop. It's a black and white photo from the 50s. And this is the text. It was a cold, wintry morning in Cleveland, Ohio, 1958. 12 years earlier, one drink had become two. Two had become three. Three had become four. Four had become six. Og's wife and daughter could no longer endure his behavior and left. Doing odd jobs to earn enough for another bottle of wine and spending countless nights in the gutter, Og had become, in his own words, quote, a sorry wretch of a human being in a living hell, end quote. Exhausted, beaten down by shame, guilt, and sorrow, Og hit bottom. He would buy the gun in the pawn shop window with his last $30, quote, all I had in the world, end quote. Go back to the dingy room where he was staying and end it all, quote, I'll never have to face that miserable failure in the mirror ever again, end quote, Og lamented. That's when it happened. A miracle. A pivotal moment, a second choice. A decision that would impact the lives of 20 million people in 24 different countries. I'm going to make this personal, Chris. Chris, is it your turn?
Yeah, I think it is.
Your day to begin a new life. If so, let Og support and deepen your journey. We'll look forward to tomorrow night, and it'll be wonderful to know you're going to be on the call. I'll feel your energy.
At the same time?
I'm going to be conducting the call, so you'll be on there with me. I'll just know you're there. I'm going to know you're there. You're planning on being there.
I will be there.
I will talk to you tomorrow night. You'll hear me talk to you, and so many others that will be on that line that are ready to take on this journey. And then on Thursday, let's connect and let's begin the process.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Let's do it. Sounds good. I'm in.
Bless your heart, Chris. Last Monday, I can share this with you because he's broken his anonymity. He's part of the program. It's called I Am My Brother's Keeper. A week ago last Monday, my brother's 49. He's been an alcoholic since he was 8 years old.
Hmm.
And I have right here in my pocket. I'll pull it out and I'll read it to you. It says, we care on one side. The other says, one day at a time. 9 months. I wouldn't miss it. I was there with him.
Wow.
And it's just wonderful to see the shift in his life as that power, God, comes back into his heart, and he's showing up for everybody in a just a miraculous way. It's your turn.
Well,
thanks, Chris. Courageous to come on the line tonight. Very courageous.
Not a problem. Yeah, maybe down the road I'll be teaching it, because you teach best what you most need to learn.
Well, it's interesting that we were training coaches this weekend up at our cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how many people have been touched by it, part of it, enjoying wonderful years of sobriety, who are now...
Well, that's why I really liked what you were saying about helping other people, reaching out right now, not waiting till I've got it whipped, but reaching out and helping people, because I do a lot of sales training, and one of my key things is if you want to get yourself pumped up and motivated, motivate somebody else. It's impossible to not motivate yourself when you're trying to help somebody else, and I think the same principles are going to apply here.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for sharing tonight.
You bet. Thank you. I'll talk to you tomorrow or Thursday.
I look forward to having you on the call tomorrow. We will touch base on Thursday. Chase, are you still with us?
I sure am.
Good. There's the voice you'll hear when you call, Chris.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you all for sharing. I don't want to take anyone else's opportunity. This has been just really precious. We have been taught so well tonight, have we not? by so many that are going through very interesting experiences in their lives, valuable experiences. And to Chris, it's so wonderful to know that when you lick this thing, when you're in recovery, you'll discover that all the craziness that goes on when the drinking is there and the destruction that can occur, all of that experience will arm you in a very special way to serve other people. It will end up being one of your great assets. You'll never want to relive it again. You won't want to go back through that. You won't want to put anyone you love back through that again. But you'll be able to see things differently, reach people differently, talk about things differently because of the experience that you've had. That's why those who are going through recovery are so incredible in the service of others going through recovery. Bill W. got it nailed back in 1935 when they discovered that when someone who has been there talks to someone who is now there, there's something really precious. Not much has to be said. Everybody knows? Yeah. It's awesome. Is there anyone else that would like to share this evening?
Dave, it's John in L.A.
Hi, John.
Hey, my heart's pounding. I have to say something. It won't take long. And following Chris and the others, I don't feel even qualified to say anything. But I did have a major success. So in spite of myself, I'm learning these principles, even without realizing it. I'm new to this, the path of thought changing. And as I said when I first spoke a number of weeks ago, it is absolutely real. I want to, my comment would center around validating the caliber of the coaches that you have brought to us here on the scholarship program. Mine is Jenny Mulcahy. And she's something, I'm telling you. She has had me focusing. A couple of weeks ago, we were focusing on scroll number 6, which is being master of emotions. And I had shared with her that there was one of Og's tenet within that scroll that I didn't understand at all. And we even commented about it to each other. It's the one where he's saying, if I feel ill, I will double my labor. I said, what in the world could that possibly mean? If you're ill, how can you double your labor? How can you do anything? Well, as it turns out, a couple of weeks ago, over the Easter weekend, I was involved in a major stage production in front of 6,000 people over the 2 days. I had a major role in it. Friday before the first performance on Saturday, I fell extremely ill, and typically one would be in the hospital for what I had, and instead, this was on Friday, and off Friday night, I was definitely ill. Well, very, 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 very ill. Saturday, I needed to be at rehearsal at noon, and the first production was at 6. So, and again, the caliber of the coaches is what this is all about. Jenny had to point out what happened here, because I wasn't realizing it. I just knew that I had to go do my role in that production. There was no understudy, and I had to do it. So I went in very, very ill, determined to have no one among 6,000 people know that I was. I told only the director. That's it. So I got it. Got up there on stage and did my scenes, and there were several, with no one except the director. No one. Now, one could argue, well, John, that was rather quite. Who was it? Whether you think you have to be there, you think you have to be there. Well, indeed, without an understudy, I did. I went ahead and did this for the cast, the team, and for the production. It had to happen. And when I later shared with Jenny, the next time we talked, days later, told her my scenario of how ill I had been, and she listened to this, and she said, John, now you understand what we talked about before. You felt ill. I was very ill, and I doubled my labor. I did far more than doubling it. So now I understand, in spite of myself, I learned what all meant. Amen. Did it for the team. I did it for the 6,000 people. And I learned it in spite of myself, and it took Jenny, this coach, to even point it out. I'm learning these things in spite of myself, and I'm forever grateful for this. It's wonderful that day.
John, you have a wonderful voice.
Well, thank you.
May I ask the role that you played?
Well, it was a religious production. It was centered around Easter, and it was a huge. 220 voice choir and an orchestra and a huge drama, and I played the role of a character out of the Bible in the Easter story named Caiaphas, who you know, the high priest, yes, and he is conniving and plotting to find a way to execute Jesus, and of course I was effective in that. That was my role. And in subsequent scenes, I go before Pilate and have them drag in the character who is crucified as Jesus, and so that was my role. Yes,
you've got a booming voice, I can imagine. Well, congratulations, and thank you for acknowledging these coaches. It is, we meet with them, John. I will meet with five of them at 7 o'clock in the morning. I meet with five more of them a Thursday afternoon at 4:30. Five more of them at 7:30 on Friday morning, and about 10 to 15 of them at 9 o'clock on Friday morning, in varying degrees of what we're doing with them. Amazing human beings. And John, you should hear them talk about the humbling experiences. They do not share confidences in those discussions. They just talk about the joy that they're feeling. One of them said last week, "My heart is full, and it is delicious." That's how they feel about you. So thank you for acknowledging them. For those of you who don't know, we have a scholarship program for those who need coaching and may have some financial challenges for a very modest purchase of some of the tools. We provide a coach for 8 weeks, and these are just amazing human beings who are pouring their hearts into their clients and providing great experiences. Now, what you don't know, unless you are already one of the scholarship students, is that we have five coaches who have agreed to take on more clients. They're just having such a great experience with our scholarship clients. We are opening up, I think as of today, Chase, and I think you already have a few of these scholarships filled, 15 new scholarships. So if you know somebody who could benefit from a scholarship, make sure Chase knows about it, because they're going to go very quickly. We probably won't have any left after the end of this week. An opportunity for someone like John to have that experience. And John, thank you for taking advantage of it and for acknowledging the value of the service is being given. They are having just the time of their life in this service. And so thank you. Wow, what a fun night. Well, we're talking about these power sessions. We're talking about this opportunity to be really present in the now. I want to take this one step farther, if I may, tonight. And then we'll get deeper into another principle here in just a moment. I want you to, if you're open to it, to acknowledge that there is a power greater than you. And in the morning, when you're choosing your three power sessions, do so prayerfully. That power knows who needs and when you need to show up. You may discover a power session is a time other than and an event other than one you might select is important. But you'll know when you get there why you were inspired to be fully present at that event. That's one. This weekend we had a great deal of discussion with our coaches about another event in the day. It's one of my favorite moments in the day. It's at the end of the day when I return and I report to that power. The labors of my day. What did I do with the time that I was allotted? How did I spend it? Did I serve people? Did I step into their world? Was I honorable in my business dealings? Was I faithful to my wife in all of my thoughts? And being able to say these words, you can write them down if you like. I have done all that I can do today. I have done all that I can do today. That's not I've done all that can be done. None of us can do that. But I've done all that I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? It is a peaceful thing to know that you are known and to trust that power that knows you. I'm going to tell you a very generic version of a story that I participated in. I was a witness to it and found out the rest of it today. I'll do it generically so that it's not embarrassing to anyone who's involved. We had an individual who needed to come to an event that was having car trouble. Because of some obligations with two teenage sons, etc., money was a little tight. And 2 hours before she was to leave, she made the decision, I'm coming no matter what to this event. Somebody called her on the phone and said, I have something for you, come by and pick it up. She came by and picked it up. She said, open it later. Came to the event. By the time she got to the event, she was having car trouble. She happened to give somebody a ride in the car who happened to know somebody who knew somebody who could fix that very car. And while she was at the event, that person took the car and at a greatly reduced fee, made all the repairs to the car. And it was far less than what was in that envelope. Her car was repaired. She was able to drive home safely. Now, I could give you more details of that. But I had a discussion with her today about going back to that person who felt impressed, because that could be any one of us, who felt impressed to put a little money in an envelope and give it to her and acted on it. Felt impressed. That higher power gave them an impression. They acted on it. And I said, isn't it wonderful to know that God knows your name? He knows your name. He knew what you needed. And it worked because she was in action. She was doing all that she could do. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? In the morning, I'll pick up that baton and run with it again. And she is a person who is running with that baton. And a person was put on her path who directly served her. And interestingly enough, when the whole thing was over, everybody was served. Everyone, including the person who fixed the car. It is just wonderful to watch how this works. So you want to live your day in such a way that you can return and report to that power that gave you life. I've done all that I can do today. Would you soften hearts and prepare the way while I sleep? And know with great faith that power can do more while you're asleep than you can ever do while you're awake. And it's the only requirement. Take the action. Take the steps. Do the work. It's a wonderful thing to know. Great principle. Now, I have a homework assignment for everybody this week. We're starting to work on this fourth quality called discipline and structure. We talked briefly about being rebellious last week. Resistant. And it's not us that's rebellious. It's these thought processes. If we step back, you and I, just step back and take a look at that graph on your computer screen of your assessment and go, oh my goodness, look at some of that noise. And when I make the decision to change one of those thought processes, they don't go, oh sure, no problem. Happy to let go of resentment, resistance, and catastrophizing, and counterfeit pleasure, and unrealistic expectations. No big deal. Wouldn't it be nice if it happened that way? You get all kinds of resistance, all kinds of cortisol and fear dendrites and craziness going to your body. Those thought processes, some of them are so rebellious. And that's what Og said in Scroll 6 when he said, weak is he who allows his thoughts to control his actions. Strong is he who forces his actions to control his thoughts. Now, sometimes we need a lot of assistance in this area. And sometimes when we need to be right, we're in resistance. We know that this thought process processes dualistically, these thought processes we're talking about, this analytical and this disciplined, this methodical. You see them on the left-hand side of your screen, on your graph. They think so much that they get really fixed on their ideas. And when they do, they have to be right because they have no other choice. It's all or it's nothing. It's right or it's wrong. It's life or it's death. And it doesn't matter whether it's the topping on a pizza or whether we make the mortgage on the house this month or whether we go on vacation or whether we paint the room blue or green. It doesn't matter. The seriousness, the complexity, it has to be right about everything. And sometimes when we've allowed this thought process to run our lives, we have crushed people. We've crushed people. We want to make sure we do this assignment. I will be so excited next Tuesday night to have some of you share what it was like when you did this. Here's the exercise. You pick somebody in your life who's been most adversely impacted by this thought process, this need to be right. Now, there's a thought process that might say, yeah, but they need to be right too. This isn't about them. This is about what happens when you let your thought processes control your life. What's it like to be around you? Pick that person. Now, I'm sharing with you an abbreviated version of what's already in your material. You can listen to it in Discipline and Structure. So you go into that section and just listen to this, but here's the abbreviated version. You ask them if you could have some time to visit. And you don't want to have restrictions on the time, so you might want to set aside an hour. You may not need a full hour, but an hour would be helpful. You sit down with them, and if you want to have fun, make a tent card and say my thoughts. Put it across the room so the two of you can sit next to each other and you can point over there to those thoughts. And you say, you know, I've been taking this coaching, and I've learned something. I've discovered that I do a lot of thinking, and they may start chuckling before you get any further. This is a major power session, by the way. You really need to be present. And when I listen to that thought process over there, point at it, I need to be right. What's it been like to be in a relationship with me for however long it's been, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, with someone who always needs to be right? Now, it's not someone who is always right. It's someone who needs to be right. And then you just lean in and listen. This is intrinsic validation at its highest level, because you're going to get a door or two that could be really caustic. Well, if they're hesitant, encourage them. Well, last Thursday when you said this to me, and you're going to have a thought process that's going to say, I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. You want to start defending, justifying. In this activity, you bite your tongue till it bleeds. You do not respond. You are just listening. This is their experience. It doesn't need to be right or wrong. It's just their experience when your thought processes are in charge. So you listen. You only get to say a couple of things. One of them is, tell me more about that. And the other, is there anything else you'd like to share? And it's not, well, is there anything else you'd like to share? No, it's with kindness. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Invite them to truly share with you what it's like to be in a relationship with someone who always needs to be right. And when you're done, all you're going to say is, thank you, I'm going to be working on that one. Now, if you'd like to, you can also share some things that you love about this person. Just really kind, wonderful things. I just love you. You're just so thoughtful, so beautiful, so dependable. Share some things with them and thank them for being them. Now, here's a warning. In the next 24 to 48 hours, if this person has shared anything that your thought processes start stewing over, be prepared, because they're going to want to figure out a really kind and loving way to still be right. It's going to sound like this. Hey guys, what's going to happen is you're going to walk into the kitchen and your wife's going to be doing dishes, and you're going to walk up and put your arms around her and give her a nice hug and kiss her on the neck and say, you know, it was so wonderful last night talking about all that. I really appreciate everything you shared. The only thing was you mentioned last Thursday, and that's not really what I meant. What I meant was, And I just feel so bad that you had to carry those feelings for all that time. And all we're trying to do is, that thought process is just trying to be right. When you have those feelings, just when you feel those feelings, just let them go. Let them go. This is an opportunity for you to see just how much they have been impacting your life. Just let it go. Love this person enough, whether it's a spouse, a business partner, a child. Just pick somebody who's been adversely impacted when you need to be right. And just listen. Anything else you want to share with me? Tell me more about that. Thank you. I'll be working on that. You can share some positive things if you like. And then you drop it. Because you're going to demonstrate from that moment forward that you truly are working on it. Now, some people have said, you know, this is going to be hard for me. So be patient with me, please. I'll do my very best. That's appropriate, too, if you'd like to share it. Try this with somebody this week. I've had people stand on a stage. I still remember being in Chicago when someone stood on the stage and shared this experience with an audience of 700 people. And he ended it with, she was ready to divorce me, and I didn't even know it. Sobering. He was doing it in tears. He was weeping on the stage. I'll tell you, I collect the emails when people send them to me, when they share their experiences. This is a precious wake-up call for many of us, because we need to be right. So discipline and structure is about letting go of the need to be right. Now I've got a bit of an echo in here. Everybody press star six for a moment. Just press star six if you would, please, and we'll mute our lines. That'll help eliminate that echo. Well, what a great evening. Thank you, Eileen. Thank you, Steve, and Alexandra, and Chris. Wow, thank you. And John, thank you for edifying these wonderful coaches who are serving everyone here, many, many people who are on the line. And welcome anybody who's here for the first night. Chris mentioned this was his first night, and welcome to anyone else who's with us. We meet here every Tuesday night. The call is recorded. It's put into your tools under the group coaching area. Please go back and listen if it would serve you. If you ever miss a call, you'll know they're recorded so that you can go back the next day and listen to them. It's our pleasure to be a service to you. We look forward to having as many of you as can be on the call tomorrow night as we take on another really, really monstrous issue, one that is just absolutely close to the Mandino family's heart. When Og Mandino became sober, he invested a great deal of his own resources and much of his time to serving those who were struggling with alcohol. Betty tells us the day he died, Johnny Cash called, spent 45 minutes on the phone thanking her for how Og's work had helped him find his sobriety and maintain it. We're looking forward to being of service in this specific area as well. So you apply these principles, relationships, addictions, building businesses. These are the foundational principles of life. I express my gratitude to Betty Mandino for trusting us to represent their family with these principles. What an honor. What a great way to invest our lives. Well, thanks, everybody. Have a great night, and we'll see some of you tomorrow night, and we'll see the rest on next Tuesday. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks.
Good night. Bless you, Dave. Good night.